No one has ever lived to see this, but when I'm defending Gotham City from psychopathic motherfuckers, my Batmobile is set to 91.5 WMFO Medford.
Dying slow. A fish in an aquarium. Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is Sunday, November the 6th, 2016. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. It's 43 degrees outside the WMFO studio. And you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get involved in some sports conversation with you. And to do that, you have to call our new phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. And for those of you who like numbers, it's 1-855-915-9636. Okay, we'll be back and talking sports with you in a very few minutes. Seconds, maybe even. Okay, that wasn't long. I'm back. It's 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown on this Sunday, November the 6th, first Sunday in November, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-9636. 1-855-915-WMFO. See, 91.5 is our call numbers, and WMFO is our call letters. So we have a phone that fits right in. All you have to do is remember 1-855, and you got me. Okay. All right, where are we going to start? Let's go to college football. On Tuesday of this past week, Western Michigan defeated Ball State 52-20. And on Thursday, Oklahoma defeated Iowa State 34-24. Also on Thursday, Colorado 20, UCLA 10. On Friday, Boise State 45, San Jose State 31. And then yesterday, Alabama squeaked out a victory over LSU 10-0. Oh, I guess a win is a win is a win. And they were playing on the road. LSU is usually tough at home. And so Bama's defense pulled it out for them, because I said in previous programs, I thought that Alabama's passing game was kind of suspect. So I guess I didn't see all the game. When I turned it on, it was 0-0 in the third period. So had to get to bed so I could get up early to be talking sports with you folks. So I got the score just a few hours ago. Alabama 10, LSU zip. Clemson 54, Syracuse zip. Michigan 59, Maryland 3. Upset, 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 upset. people were complaining about Texas A&M being ranked number 4 ahead of Washington, who had not lost a game. And so Texas A&M could not stand the success, I guess. And Mississippi State, who was unranked, defeated Texas A&M 35-28. And so Texas A&M is going to probably fall from position number 4 because Washington defeated California 66-27. And they remain undefeated. And so I'm assuming they're going to move up into the 4th position. Ohio State pounded Nebraska 62-3. Louisville 52, Boston College 7. I said that Boston College was getting the money, but they were out of their league as far as moving out what was formerly the Big East. Wisconsin 21, Northwestern 7. Auburn 23, Vanderbilt 16. Upset. Unranked Arkansas defeated Florida, ranked number 11, 31-10. Penn State 41, Iowa 14. Another upset, unranked TCU defeated Baylor, who ranked number 17, 62-22. Oklahoma State 43, Kansas State 37. Pierre, I know, is happy about that one. Virginia Tech 24, Duke 21. West Virginia 48, Kansas 21. North Carolina 48, Georgia Tech 20. Florida State 24, North Carolina State 20. And Washington State 69, Arizona 7. So as far as college football is concerned, I guess we have our big 4 now for the playoffs. Playoffs, yeah. It'll be so far, it looks like Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington. So we'll see if there are any changes before the end of the year and all the other colleges get together with their bowl games and everything else. 4:13 here. Oh, and I didn't do it. I said I was going to look up the scores for, if I had time, look up the scores for some local colleges. I know Harvard won over Columbia, I believe, and somebody else. I forgot. But anyway, I didn't write it down, so there you go. Sorry. There's only so much time, and local college football is generally not a big item around here, at least not on this program. But, I'll do my best to, if I get up early some morning and have time to hunt around for other scores, I'll do just that. 4:14 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 6th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from about 4 until 5 a.m. And I'd love to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, just give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
American Cancer Society, 60-second breast cancer radio. This is spot number ACC-6000, generic.
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I couldn't really understand what the doctor was telling me.
This is Kendall.
I felt so helpless. The fact that I could turn to the American Cancer Society for information was truly a blessing.
She called us when she needed answers, anytime, day or night, and when she needed hope.
I know they play a huge role in research, but I couldn't believe everything else they do, like promoting awareness and advocating for mammograms for women who haven't been able to get them. They even offered me support in my own community.
Kendall is a survivor, and now she's a volunteer with the American Cancer Society.
They helped me get my life back. It feels good to be able to share a little bit of it with them.
This is the American Cancer Society. This is how we're making strides against breast cancer. No one does more to fight breast cancer than the American Cancer Society. Call 800-ACS-2345 or visit cancer.org to learn more.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:19 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-9636, 1-855-915-WMFO. Oh, let's go to the National Basketball Association. Yesterday, the Thunder 112, the Timberwolves 92, the Cavaliers 102, the 76ers 101, the Magic 88, the Wizards 86, the Pistons 103, the Nuggets 86, the Pacers 111, the Bulls 94, the Hawks 112, the Rockets 97. The Bucks 117, the Kings 91, the Clippers 116, and the Spurs 92. Still too early for me, anyway, to make any dire predictions as to where various teams are going to finish during the season in the NBA. I guess the prohibitive favorites are the Cleveland Cavaliers, maybe followed by the Golden State Warriors, or maybe vice versa now that they picked up Kevin Durant. And I guess the Spurs are right there in the top three. Who else will join that elite group? Only time will tell. As far as the Celtics are concerned, you know, after having a pretty good training camp, the injuries that seem to be mounting. First, Marcus Smart goes down for a while. And that was followed by Al Horford and Jay Crowder. And Kelly Olynyk has not come back yet from shoulder surgery after last season. So those are four key players. Marcus Smart is back now. He played the last two games and has contributed very well. But Horford was going to be a key for the front court, and also Crowder, also a key for the front court. And he had the high ankle sprain last year, which really, although he came back and played during the playoffs, he certainly wasn't himself. Defensively or offensively, and so it's it's not easy to tell, from my perspective anyway, how far the team is going to go. One bright spot, however, is the fact that Jaylen Brown, the first-round pick, has been playing. He picked up Evan Turner's time, and now with Crowder and Horford both out, he's getting more time as well. And handled himself, fairly well in that last game against Cleveland, since he was guarding LeBron James at times. And LeBron gave him a few compliments as well for a 20-year-old doing what he did. Got 19 points. He didn't stop LeBron, however, but who does stop LeBron? So anyway, that's what that means is if we can get everybody back healthy. And also, Avery Bradley's been having some shoulder problems, even though he's been playing. He hasn't missed any games yet. And he's had surgery on both of his shoulders during his Celtics career. So hopefully this is not going to be a long-term thing, but you don't know. Anyway, Isaiah Thomas has been doing his thing from the point guard spot and also scoring as well. And so it's going to be interesting to see just how far So this can go. What they need to do is be consistent in beating up on the teams that are at their level or below. The 76ers and other teams like that. Then Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have been playing fairly well. Maybe it's the coaching. Anyway, they don't seem to have, you know, too much of a squad, but they've been, you know, holding their own and winning a few games as well. So, like I said, it's still too early to tell. And if anybody's going to crash the Elite Three, I don't know. Celtics could be in that group. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. Because they got to go through Cleveland, probably, to get to the finals. So, while you figure that Golden State and the San Antonio Spurs are going to be bumping heads out there. Maybe the Clippers. Who knows about them? Portland, perhaps, also. Anyway, that's about it as far as my perspective as the NBA is concerned. And like I said, it's too close to call. 424 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Day 427 here on WMFO in Medford. This is Donnelly Brown on the Brown Perspective on Sports. It's 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, WMFO.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. National Hockey League. The Avalanche 1 and the Wild zip. The Rangers 5 and the Bruins 2. The Maple Leafs 6 and the Canucks 3. Canadiens 5 and the Flyers 4. Sabres 2 and the Senators 1. The Lightning 4 in New Jersey 1. Oilers 4 in the Islanders 3. That was a shootout. The Capitals 4 in the Panthers 2. The Blues 2 in the Blue Jackets 1. That was an overtime game. Hurricanes 3 in the Predators 2. The Blackhawks 3 in the Stars 2. The Kings 5 in the Flames zip. And the Penguins 5 in the Sharks zip. In that Bruins game, in the first period at 3:44, Patrice Bergeron got his second goal of the year with assist from Brad Marchand. Bruins won in the Rangers' zip. Then it went downhill from there. At 15:09, Nick Holden got his first goal of the year for the Rangers with assist from Stepan and somebody else. I can't even read my own writing. Vessi, maybe. Anyway, and then at 17:59, Stepan got his first goal of the year, which was shorthanded, with assist from Grabner and Girardi. 2-1 Rangers at the end of the first period. Second period, 2:18, Kevin Hayes got his fifth goal of the year, also shorthanded, with assist from Stahl and Klein. Bad sign when the other team is getting shorthanded goals. You've got the upper hand, they're scoring. Something is wrong. Then it's 13:37 of the second period. Butchnevich got his first goal of the year on a power play. So we're not doing well when they had the advantage. 3-1 Rangers and then at 14:46 of the second period, David Pastrnak got his seventh goal of the year with assist from Nash and Carlo. But that was short-lived as at 16:48 of the fourth period, I do believe. I'm not really sure what I'm reading here. Michael Grabner got his seventh goal of the year for the Rangers, and that was unassisted. Some of those goals might have come in the third period. Anyway, it was Rangers 5, Bruins 2. Bruins got their shots. Ranta stopped 37 shots. Rask only had to stop 19. But 5 of the 24 shots that were against him went in. And so, there you go. Bruins go down to the Rangers 5-2. Just like in the National Basketball Association. It's too early for me to make any decisive calls about who's going to do what to whom. I can't even tell you who won the championship last year. I know it was a team on the West Coast, I do believe. But who was it, San Jose? Might have been San Jose. But anyway, it's still, like I said, you know, we're still sorting things out as far as Bruins are concerned. The Bruins have gotten younger, I'll say that. Since so therefore, with a young team, you know, they should increase their scoring potential. The problem, I think, as some people were saying, was also on the defensive end. They didn't come up with a clear-cut addition to their defensive staff. And so will the young guys come in and fill the gap? And will the offense? Pastrnak seems to be out there doing his thing. People kept saying, hey, let's play the guy. You know, he seems to have all the skills we need to put the goal in the net. So, therefore, you know, he's not going to do much for us every down in Providence. And so, finally, they've given him a chance. I guess someone's spoken into doggy, into Julian's ear. Not doggy. Stop playing with Doc Rivers' playbook and give the young guy the chance to play. So, you know, we'll see what happens. People who are more versed in Bruins hockey can probably fill us in, but you got to give us a call and let us know your perspective, what's going on in the world of Bruins hockey. When Rask went down and his backup went down, it seemed like we didn't have, you know, much in goaltending reserves coming up. Maybe with just the pressure of playing in the big time or what, I don't know, but they didn't perform very well, so we just have to wait and see what's going to happen from this point on. Okay. That's it as far as my hockey intellect is concerned. And you can tell it's not very high. Okay, 4:33 here on WMFO in Medford, a Brown perspective on sports. You want to talk sports with me? Give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Be back. Thank you.
enfermedad causa sufrimiento, días de trabajo perdidos, incluso muerte, ¿es real? La depresión es real y afecta a más de 19 millones de estadounidenses. Por suerte, la esperanza también es real, porque la ciencia ha desarrollado tratamientos eficaces que pueden llevar a la recuperación. Para obtener los hechos reales sobre la depresión, visite depressionisreal.org. Los financiadores incluyen la Asociación Nacional para la Salud Mental, la Alianza Nacional sobre Enfermedades Mentales, la Asociación Médica Nacional y la Liga Urbana Nacional.
If a disease caused suffering, missed workdays, even death, would it be real? Well, depression is real and affects over 19 million Americans. Fortunately, hope is real too, because science has developed effective treatments that can lead to recovery. For the real facts about depression, visit depressionisreal.org. Supported by many organizations, including the American Psychiatric Foundation, the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, the National Medical Association, and the National Urban League.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:37 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, with Talking Sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You have to give me a call on our new phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Okay, if you're a horse racing fan, the Breeders' Cup was a big upset. Arrogate won the Breeders' Cup main event over California Chrome. So there you go. Baseball. Who's talking baseball this time of year? It's November. Yeah, well, the World Series just ended last week. And congratulations to the world champion Chicago Cubs. Even though I picked Cleveland to win, they were my sentimental favorites, I think, because they had more Red Sox, ex-Red Sox people on there. And I love Terry Francona. I thought he got a bum rap here. But anyway, congratulations to the world champion Chicago Cubs, Theo Epstein, and all the boys, Rizzo, who never played for the Red Sox, but he was in their minor league system. I think we traded him to San Diego in the Gonzalez trade. And they had some other players as well, and you know, I can't remember the catcher there for Chicago. One of the catchers. Anyway, they won. They came back after being down 3-1, and they won it all. And I guess the question is this a dynasty? I think before you can pronounce dynasty on them, you got to remember back just a year ago when the Kansas City Royals won, and everybody, and they had, you know, a really sound young team, and their bullpen was out of sight as far as strong arms out there are concerned, and everybody was pronouncing dynasty on KC, and they didn't even make the playoffs this year. And so, therefore, before I could commit to having a dynasty in Chicago after 308 years or whatever it was, you know, since they last won the championship. And, they have a great club. And they're the team to beat. No one's going to, they're not going to sneak up anybody anymore. And so, therefore, we're going to have to wait and see. Red Sox, I think the young kids were just overmatched and probably overworked as far as coming into the playoffs are concerned, because they were dismal when it came to the bats, Bogarts, Betts, Pedroia, even Ortiz, showed signs of fatigue with all of the celebrations he was probably involved in his last year. So one thing is for sure. The Red Sox need to replace, if possible, come as close as possible to replacing David Ortiz's bat in the lineup. Will that be Pablo Sandoval coming back and winning the third base job? That could be. It seems like, and I agree, that they are pretty well content to keep Hernandez at first base. And they have another young player down the minors who was injured last year. Good power hitting first baseman. And then we still got our other person who can play third and first. So the question is, you know, are the bats going to, existing bats going to be able to repeat what they did? You know, Mookie Betts is a candidate for MVP. So here you go. I think with more pressure of the playoffs, and Jackie Bradley fell off even before the playoffs. He had a big early season where he had, what, the 20-some-odd game hitting streak. And then he fell off the cliff. He hit with some power, but the average was not there. Young was doing well, and he had the hamstring injury that kept him out for a while. And Benintendi shows that he is major league ready. And I still like Bruce Swihart, a guy who's a switch hitter who can play the outfield and catch. I don't see how he's not going to make the roster this year. And I still like Alan Craig. I still think you don't forget how to hit. And I think if he can get through the injury situation that he encountered, he is a good man, I think, to be, you know, perhaps make the ball club this year. But if we're going to, you know, really try to make some effort to fill Big Papi's shoes, I guess it would be Trumbo from the Orioles or Encarnacion from Toronto. And the reason, since they're both free agents, the reason I would go after them, hey, whichever one you get, you know, you're going to be weakening, you know, one of your major opponents in the American League East. Yankees got a bunch of new young players, and they're going to be a contender next year. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy ride. The American League East has been perennially tough for quite a few years, and doesn't look like it's going to get any softer next year. So for the Red Sox to improve, make the playoffs, and go beyond the first round, they have to get their act together. I think pitching is not going to be a problem. We might have finished higher and had a better record and going into the playoffs with a home field advantage if Wright hadn't got hurt. So I look for Porcello, Price, Wright, Pomerantz, and probably Rodriguez or Buchholz in the fifth spot. Probably Rodriguez, and Buchholz has shown that he can pitch out of the bullpen. And they've extended his contract. And that's a pretty good starting five, I think. So the bullpen may be shored up. Uehara and Tozawa are both free agents. And whether they're going to offer them contracts this year after they see what the other teams may bid for them or not, whether they think that they have other people. They've got two young arms that are way down in the minors who are not ready for big-time exposure, I don't believe. One of them might make double-A next year. Probably should make double-A next year. And the other one just came out of high school, so he's still going to be down in lower A. So, both of them throw in the high 90s, and one kid supposedly topped 105. That's crazy. Whether they're going to be starters or whether they'll be, you know, bullpen pitchers or not, I don't know. But we got a lot of arms. We're going to have to wait and see how well they perform. And just have to trust that they are going to be able to hold the fort. It's 4:44 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial or on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 6th, the first Sunday in November 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here. Richard Leary, Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. I shall return. Promise. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to apply for a student loan.
Wonderful. We just need to verify that you've registered with Selective Service.
But I haven't registered.
Oh.
Hi, I'd like to sign up for a job training program.
Fantastic! This program is great for learning the skills that help you get a good job. Let's just check to make sure you've registered with Selective Service.
Well, I haven't registered.
Oh.
Thank you for letting me interview for this government job. I'm really excited about working here.
Well, yes, but your records indicate that you're not registered with Selective Service. I'm sorry.
Young men who fail to register with Selective Service can find a lot of doors closed to them. The law requires that all men register with Selective Service within 30 days of their 18th birthday. If you don't, you lose your right to receive student loans and job training, and you're shut out of federal employment. Don't close the doors to your future. Register with Selective Service online at www.sss.gov or at your post office.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. And I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here. It's 4:50 here on WMFO in Medford. And I hope I didn't mention it, but hopefully everybody turned their clocks back an hour. Okay. We did it here in the studio, so hopefully you did it at home as well. So you're in tune with everybody else. National Football League, New England Patriots. I guess the big news here is the trading of Jamie Collins to the Cleveland Browns. And I'm not terribly shocked about that because it didn't seem... Well, first of all, when they traded Chandler Jones to Arizona, I just assumed that that was the first step so they could sign Collins and Hightower and possibly Butler as well. That just cleared the cap space, I believe, to get that done. But from, if you can believe what everything that's been said, is that Collins and his people, they were looking for top-of-the-line linebacker money, Von Miller-type money. And the Patriots obviously never do that to anybody. Even Tom Brady's getting less than he should as, being the top quarterback in the NFL. But he's done that for the sake of the team. But everybody else is not going to take hometown discounts. And so, therefore, to get at least a third, maybe a fourth-round pick for Collins, rather than have him go free agent and not get anything, maybe a compensatory something or other. But anyway... They're getting it from the Browns, so that'll probably be, since the Browns haven't won a game yet, that'll probably be the top pick in the third round or the top pick in the fourth round, whatever, wherever. But anyway, the question is, can they fill in the meantime with, and I guess they assumed this was going to happen because they brought in, first of all, they had Shea McClellan, who's not been playing much. Just because he hasn't, well, I think he had an injury earlier, but he hasn't been playing much, except maybe special teams. And they've got in Barkevious Mingo. And recently they just brought in Van Noy. And so they've been filling up with linebackers. And they've been playing Ninkowski at linebacker instead of defensive end. And so therefore, they were planning for this all along. And this is just goes along with the Patriots' territory. That's they normally do. And when you see the people that they've let go, not in the middle of the season, however, but and I guess the question is this going to be a morale issue down the line? Probably not, as long as the team keeps winning. If the team, falls into some kind of problems here and there, it could be a morale problem down the road. But that's Patriots history. And Randy Moss said, Patriots just don't pay. So there you go. Now, 4:53 here on WMFO in Medford. I have not received stats from last week. And as you regular listeners know, that I am in this heated contest with my son, my grandson, and two friends. And I was in a tie at the end of last week. With my son, Scott, and he's also our statistician. And I guess he was tied up with other things, so I did not get the updated report. I think I had a pretty good week. I think I went 9-5 or 10-4, something like that last week. Where that keeps me, I don't know. But anyway, we'll go into this week's picks, and I always say don't pick, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet. Betting is on the side of the gamblers because you have to, you know, determine the point spreads, and that makes it just much that much. It was so difficult for us just picking the winners. Okay, I got off to a good start this week in the Thursday night game. I had the Falcons over the Bucks, and the Falcons did win that game. Now this week I have the Vikings over the Lions. I have the Eagles over the Giants. I have the Dolphins over the Jets. I got the Chiefs over the Jaguars, and this is because Smith is out, Charles is out, but the Jaguars are perennially out, so I'm taking the Chiefs over the Jaguars. I got the Cowboys over the Browns, and I hope Collins doesn't hurt Dak. Dak Prescott has been having a fantastic year. I picked him at the beginning of the year to be Rookie of the Year when Romo went down. He started playing so well in the early games, and he has kept it up thus far. Still a rookie, but hey, the team is winning, and you got that great defense, offensive line, so there you go. And the running back as well. Steelers over the Ravens. Big Ben may be back, but even if he isn't, the Ravens are hovering to fall out of contention anyway, so on their own. So, but I got the Steelers over the Ravens. I got the 49ers over the Saints. That's my upset pick of the week. The Saints' defense is not there, and they got to score a trillion points every week to win. And I think the 49ers are now getting used to Colin Kaepernick at quarterback, although they have all kinds of issues offensively and defensively. I'm picking the 49ers to win, to be my upset pick of the week. I got the Panthers over the Rams, and I guess the question is, are the Panthers going to be able to turn it around and make the playoffs? After getting up there last year to the Super Bowl and then sticking out the joint. Makes you wonder what would have happened to the Patriots because they got there, if we were healthy enough to get there. The Packers, I got over the Colts. Neither of these teams seem to be worthy of making the playoffs, although some of them will. But they've been playing mediocre ball, but only because they're in mediocre divisions. Have they been able to, you know, sustain a possibility of making the playoffs? I got the Chargers over the Titans. And I guess I could say the same thing about them. Potentially playoff material, but only because of the numbers, not because they're, you know, playoff-worthy teams. I got the Raiders over the Broncos. I'm sticking with my up-and-comers. I had the Raiders as one of the up-and-coming teams of the year. Their offense has been really good. Carr is like he's moving up into territory there that was belonged to the top quarterbacks. And their problem is that their D has still been suspect at times. In the Monday night game, I got the Seahawks over the Bills. And I guess after a poor start and a sort of turnaround, the Bills may be sliding on that slippery slope where the Ryans are shipped out of town. And my buddy Bill Tidwell, he had the Falcons, the Lions, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Saints, the Rams, the Packers, the Titans, the Raiders, and the Seahawks. And I see a few losses there in his. Okay, it's 4:58 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 6th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Be back next Sunday, Lord willing, talking sports here. I'd love to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way. We have a fantastic program lined up for you. More new music, top hits of the year 2016, and some local artists as well. You don't want to miss that. from 5 until 8 a.m. Great gospel music here on WMFO in Medford.